జయ జయ శ్రీ చైతన్య జయ నిత్యానంద జయ జయ శ్రీ చైతన్య జయ నిత్యానంద జయ ద్వైత చంద్ర జయ గౌర భక్త వృంద జయ ద్వైత చంద్ర జయ గౌర భక్త వృంద జయ జయ శ్రీ చైతన్య జయ నిత్యానంద జయ ద్వైత చంద్ర జయ గౌర భక్త వృంద జయ జయ శ్రీ చైతన్య జయ నిత్యానంద జయ ద్వైత చంద్ర జయ గౌర భక్త వృంద సో టుడే వీఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీ చైతన్య చరితమృత మధ్యలీల చాప్టర్ 20 ద లార్డ్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్ట్స్ సనాతన గోస్వామి What is on the board, Prabhu? 139? Okay. Right. Didn't you do that last time? Okay. I think we did, actually. Yeah. Yeah, Bhaktavas, he did 37, and then he did, not Bhaktavas, what's his name, our guest? From England. Huh? Bhaktaras, yeah. There, here he is. Yeah, and then he continued to do 138 and 139. Anyway, we can chant it. So it's always good to chant. But I'll give class on 142. Okay, so let's chant it. Because we didn't chant it last time. I'll just do the word for word. Ataiva bhakti krishna praptyera upaya abhidyaya bhali latare sarva shastre gaya. Ataiva bhakti krishna praptyera upaya abhideya bhalitara sarva shastrakaya ataiva therefore bhakti devotional service krishna praptyera of achieving the lotus feet of Krishna. Upaya, the only means. Abhideya, abhideya. Bali, calling. Tare, this system. Sarva shastre, in all revealed scriptures. Gaya, is described. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The conclusion is that devotional service is the only means for approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This system is therefore called Abhideya. This is the verdict of all revealed scriptures. Purport. As Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktimam abhijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvata tatomam tatvato gyadva visate tat anantaram. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me, by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. The aim of life is to get rid of the material conditioning and enter into spiritual existence. Although the Shastras prescribe different methods for different men, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says that one ultimately must accept the path of devotional service as the assured path of spiritual advancement. Devotional service to the Lord is the only process actually confirmed by the Lord. Sarva dharma prityagya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Bhagavad Gita 1866. One must become a devotee if one wants to return home, back to Godhead, and become eternally blissful. Om agyana timrandasya ginanjana salakaya chakshur militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Sri chaitanya manobhistang stapitang yena bhutale svayang rupa akadamayang dadati svapanantikang. Vandehang sri guru sri yuta parakamalang sri gurun vaishnavangsya sri rupang sakaratam sakana raghunatam vitang tang sajivang sadvetang savadutang parijana saitang krishna chaitanya devam sri radha krishna padan sahagana lalita sri vishakan vitangscha. Hey krishna karuna sindhu dina bando jagatpate gopisha gopika kanta radha kanta namosute. Tapta kanchana gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Ebacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadhadar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Deva Bhakti Krishna Prabjera Upaya Abhidheya Bhalitare Sarva Shastra Ghaya. Yeah, so we are here listening to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructing Sanatana Goswami. And it's quite intense, at least for me personally, what he's saying. It's about this... We had this whole thing with the snake, the different processes of, you could say, I don't know if you can say yoga, but the different processes of spiritual advancement, karma yoga, jnana yoga, and as I understand it, astanga yoga, or you know, the so-called normal yoga. In other words, or maybe we shouldn't call it yoga because it might be a little bit confusing. Maybe better just to say karma, jnana, and astanga. Because yoga means to connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even karma yoga, sometimes Prabhupada describes it as devotional service because it's called action in Krishna consciousness. But generally it's understood that they're like ladders. So it starts with karma, fruit of activities, or activities according to Shastric rules and regulations. In other words, in to say it differently, doing good things basically. And then agyan means to think about the meaning of life more or less. The for me the most clear example is, for instance, Socrates. So Prabhupada used to call him a jnani, and he more or less realized that he wasn't the body. They asked him to take poison because he was sort of uproaring the youth, and he immediately took it, Prabhupada says, because he realized that he wasn't the body. And then astanga, that means it's like a process of yoga. The idea, mainly what I understand, is that the yogis, they become so advanced that they can see Krishna within the heart. But that is still not the highest process, which is bhakti yoga. And as we all know, or at least we should know, is that bhakti yoga can only be given by Guru and Krishna. Because Krishna is completely outside of this universe. Like the Super Soul, Paramatma, he is localized. He's in the heart, he's in every atom. So he can, by a very difficult process, which is really not recommended in this age of Kali, which is called the age of bluff or the age of quarrel, but it is theoretically, at least in this age, it is possible to perceive the super soul. But to actually know Krishna, like I said, it needs to be given by Krishna. So you either must have met him, which was 5,000 years ago or 500 years ago when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, or it must be given to you by a guru. So you either must get a Bhagavad Gita or a Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then you can learn about it. But these things are given to you by a devotee. You cannot just start meditating and figure out there's Krishna. Of course, this is what Lord Brahma did, but that is exceptional. He was the first being of the universe, and at that time he didn't have any books. So it needs to be given by Guru and Krishna, and that is bhakti yoga, and that is the yoga, like Parthasarathi, he used to call it the yoga of the heart. And it's called, Prabhupada coined it, loving devotional service. And sometimes you would add favorable devotional service. So that is the highest process. And that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is stressing here to Sanatana Goswami. And Rupa Goswami also has this famous verse, Karma Gyanadi, Karma Gyana, what was that? Sorry? Anya Vilasita Sunyan. Karma, Gyanadi, Anavritam. So karma, Gyan, and Adi, all the other things like yoga, they have to be given up. And like I said in the beginning, it's a little bit difficult for me to really fully understand that. Maybe for you also, I don't know, maybe not. We can maybe discuss it a little bit. I'll just recap a little bit. So 136, the revealed scriptures conclude that one should give up fruit of activity, speculative knowledge, and the mystic yoga system, and instead take to devotional service, by which Krishna can be fully satisfied. Karma Gyan Yoga Chai, it says here by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chai means to renounce. Yeah, so here also it's called Karma Gyan and Yoga. So he doesn't really call it Karma Yoga Gyana, because that is a little bit different. He calls it Karma Gyan and Yoga. And here Prabhupada translates it as the mystic yoga system. So Rasa Manli is always posing questions. I'll follow in his footsteps, so we can, because it's a question that I have. We can wonder, should we do yoga? I will admit to you that I used to be a yoga teacher. When I came into the ashram in Amsterdam, I won't call any names, but I was strongly disadvised to not do any yoga. That is Maya, Prabhu. That was how it went in those days. And, it was very difficult for me to continue, because, after japa, I would do some exercise that I was already doing. After some time, also it became very intense. The book marathon came, because I joined in September 1996. And then soon after, the book marathon came, and then gradually I more or less gave it up. Nowadays it's kind of popular in the society of devotees, and like I said, I also do it myself. Pralanda Maharaj also practices. He's the minister of sannyas. So it seems that that's my understanding, that for health we can do some yoga, but we should be very conscious that. Basically, the way I understand it, we cannot make really spiritual advancement with yoga. And that is usually where it gets a little bit confusing, especially for non-devotees. Because they, and this is why Prabhupada generally, and I, this is also one of the reasons why I completely gave it up. He generally calls yoga teachers, the so-called yoga teachers, cheaters. Because, and that is how I felt when I was reading Prabhupada's books, I felt, oh, I'm a cheater. Because you're pretending to give persons knowledge or full knowledge, but you don't have full knowledge. And this is a kind of a cheating. Because people, they trust you, you're kind of a guru, you're a teacher. And you can't really explain to them how to come out of the cycle of birth and death. And we had a saying that, if you practice our yoga, then you'll die much better, and it was definitely true, because, we were doing quite serious yoga called Kundalini yoga, and we more or less experienced that we're not the body, so that was there. I already believed in Krishna since I was 14, so I always had this discussion with my teacher, and believe it or not, he had Bhagavad Gita as it is, and he would say, no, Lord Shiva is God. And he would take Prabhupada's Gita and take the index, and then he would try to prove to me that Shiva was God. And we always had these super intense discussions and intense chess matches. I usually won. And it was really interesting. But Yeah, he was also eating meat, for instance. I wasn't eating meat, of course, because, you know, I mean, Prabhupada, I didn't figure it out in those days that I had become vegetarian because of Prabhupada's books, but I wasn't eating any eggs and any fish. Like in Holland, you go to someone and you say, I'm vegetarian. They say, oh, I'll bake you an egg. And then I explain to them, no, I also don't eat eggs, because then I told them the whole story about that it's like it's also like meat. But yeah, he was eating meat and doing so many other things. And yeah, he had big classes, 40, 50 people, 5, 6 classes a week. Sometimes 2 times a day, like that. So yeah, it's a kind of a cheating. That's how I felt when I read Prabhupada's books. That I should, because in the beginning I was thinking maybe I can just continue my yoga. And of course, that was kind of out of the door pretty quick, because I was smoking, and I immediately realized, I didn't immediately realize actually, I was reading Ajamil, and then I thought, oh, this is great. I can just keep smoking, and then at the end I say Hare Krishna, and then, you know, great. But just as I was reading that, Prabhupada said, this is the greatest offense. And then I was like, oh no, now I have to join. this is bad. So I smoked my last joint, and I joined soon after, a few days after that. I remember the wife of my brother, she shaved me up completely, and I joined the temple just before it asked me. And yes, because I also felt before that I was cheating people. You know, I was thinking maybe I can mix it in with Krishna. But at the time, I, you know, sometimes devotees do that, and I don't want to speak bad about it. Especially Devamrita Maharaj in New Zealand, he has a very successful program. And I also discussed it with Parthasarathy Prabhu. He says by hook or by crook, we can inspire people to come to Krishna consciousness. But there should be, that's how he explained it, there should be a program that they ultimately start to surrender. And this is actually what's happening in New Zealand, that they have a whole program. First they come, they do yoga, and then they have this love with all nice cushions, and have like an informal Bhagavad Gita discussion, and then gradually many devotees come out of there actually. So, you know, how can we say that it's a bad program if so many devotees come out? That's the whole purpose of book distribution, that we make devotees. It's the whole purpose of this temple. I mean, it's one of the purposes. It's also to make us devotees, but it's also to attract all the people. So it has its function, but again, we must be very careful not to think that we make spiritual advancement. So it's like a little bit of a trick. Like you've heard them. There's so many weird stories how devotees sometimes would sell books. You know, they would stop people at stoplights, and they would have all kinds of gimmicks. So, you know, like, I think yoga is a little bit like that. Although, of course, it is very good for health. And Prabhupada also, he didn't do yoga, as far as I know, but he had these massages that would massage his whole body. And like that, he became more healthy. Well, I remember Arjun was here, and he said that he felt that Prabhupada might have compensated his lack of sleep by the massages, because he would only sleep 2-3 hours, and by the massages he could kind of remain his strength. So, yeah, it's just a question. We can just ponder upon it, how to find the right balance, because it seems that some yoga is good for health, but at the same time I also feel, I mean, I've started doing it again because my health was really deteriorating. I also feel that ultimately it's not really necessary. And that is also what is said here in the purport. It said, let me just read it for you one more time. Although the Shastras prescribe different methods for different men, so that I just explained a little bit, karma, jnana, yoga, the Supreme Personality of Godhead says that one ultimately must accept the path of devotional service as the assured path of spiritual advancement. And then Prabhupada just really drives it home. Devotional service to the Lord is the only process actually confirmed by the Lord. And then he quotes the most quoted verse, actually, as far as we know in the Veda base. Sarvadharma Prityagya Mam Ekam Sarnam Vraja. One must become a devotee, Prabhupada says, if one wants to return home back to Godhead and become eternally blissful. So ultimately, it seems that these things have to be given up. And, you know, I mean, who can really practice yoga when they are really, really old? So it might be something to have some strength for preaching and things like that. But ultimately, it seems that it should be given up. Anyway, that's a question we can ask ourselves. Any questions on this? Yes? I think also Prabhupada recommended it, no? He said you can do some yoga for health. I haven't read it, but I heard it that he said that. I don't know. Makes sense. Yeah, so right. Yeah, so Prabhu was saying that Prabhupada did write a letter to one devotee who was doing yoga classes and giving out prasadam and making devotees, and that he said, thank you for your intelligent preaching. And what else you say? Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah, so Prabhu was saying the same thing that I was more or less saying, and Bhagavati is saying that if you are convinced that bhakti yoga is the assured process, then it's fine to do yoga, even if it's for sometimes to calm the mind. Of course, generally we say chant Hare Krishna to calm the mind, but sometimes breathing exercise and some stretching can help the breathing, and it can also calm the mind. I think one of the reasons also why I give it up, because even though I believed in Krishna, I never met devotees, because I got the book through school, through a friend of mine, and he ripped out the pictures. He said, these pictures are really beautiful, but he didn't like the book, so he gave the book to me. So this is how I got to know Bhagavad Gita, but I never met the devotees, so, you know. So I couldn't really figure it out. And then somebody told me that Prabhupada had left and that the movement became totally messed up. I think the same friend told me that. So I kind of was like hopeless that, another, like, because I saw the thing what happened with Bhagwan. It was really big in Holland. And that looked really bad. I really knew that that's not what I want to do. You know, that looks, it looked fake and it looked like artificial and bogus. And I could see this man, Sebastian was a big cheater. He had like, he wanted to have a Rolls Royce for every, a different color for every day of the year. I think he made it up to like 150 or 200 Rolls Royces. It was really ridiculous, you know. Finally, the tax man got him in the United States and he had to flee America. The whole thing became sour. And anyway, I think he died a lonely man at the Himalayas. I mean, he had some merit, but not much. I mean, one thing is that there is one verse in the Bhagavatam where it says that, you know, if you just indulge in sense gratification, that at some stage you get enough from it. So that was his whole philosophy, more or less, as far as I understand. But that's just one verse. Generally, we say, no, you should stop sense gratification, just focus on Krishna consciousness, and then it will go away by itself. But, you know, I mean, he was just cheating, as far as I'm concerned. Because afterwards, many stories came out that he had so many sex with so many female disciples and this and that. So, you know, I had kind of ideas of Hare Krishna like that, you know. So, I never met the devotees. And then when I did, yeah, then I was already so much, you know, into this whole yoga. And I thought, you know, this yoga, it can save the world, you know. We were doing Kundalini yoga and we'll make everybody more peaceful and realize that they're not a body. So maybe that is also one of the reasons why I really cut it out like that, because it was a little bit mixed, you see? Yes? Yeah, it's a very good point. I forgot to mention it. Prabhu was saying that that bhakti yoga it includes all the other yogas, and we discussed it also the past few weeks. That if you are a good bhakti yogi, then automatically these qualities will also attain them. Like she's saying, you'll become automatically a good citizen. Prabhupada says that, first class citizen, first class man. We want to become first class man, Prabhupada says. And Jnani also, Prabhupada wants us to be very knowledgeable about these scriptures in order to preach. And you can wonder about Ashtanga Yoga. I'm not sure, maybe we haven't reached it. I know actually some Swamis, they are quite advanced. From stories I heard that they are really powerful in maintaining their brahmacharya, and that they only sleep a few hours. And that's another thing I also noticed in my own life, that because I think it's part of Ashtanga Yoga that you have to become regulated. And when I was doing yoga, I forgot to mention it, for there's a reason for. I used to do 4 days yoga and then I would go 3 days of partying. This is called Bhoga Chak. So you enjoy and then you renounce, like that. And I knew it was bad, but I just couldn't control myself because I didn't have anything to substitute it. And I notice in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada says, Ksura Rasa, it's like a razor's edge devotional service. So if you make one little mistake, then you cut yourself. And what I refer to is, for instance, sleeping. You know, everybody knows if you go to bed a little bit too late, then you might miss Mangal Aarti, and then your whole day might be different. And then maybe the next day again you will be late, and then gradually, so at some stage you just have to, you know, put another alarm clock or something, or ask somebody to, and then you get back into it. The point I want to make is, that it have to become very regulated. Also, you'll see in the beginning, it's also recommended that new devotees, they eat a lot. But then when you see devotees become more advanced, I know, for instance, one Swami that I heard he only eats once a day. And it's not artificial. That is just, he's just too busy. And he doesn't need a breakfast. He just takes a lunch and that's it. He doesn't waste his time. That is part of Ashtanga Yoga, you could say, because it's very, very difficult to obtain that. But the Bhakti Yogi can obtain it naturally. And it's not even difficult. It's not that he's skipping a breakfast. He's just got other things to do. So in the beginning, you shouldn't artificially, I'm going to skip the breakfast. Because that's not the idea. The idea is that the more you serve, the more service you'll get. And at some stage, you'll just get more power. By the chanting, by taking the darshan, by reading the books, and by having regulated life, it will become natural for you. You feel, or and that was also explained by one devotee, you'll just get older, and you'll be forced by the body to eat less. At least if you're intelligent. But so these are also you could say preliminary stages of Ashtanga Yoga. And another thing, Malati said that. I also like to say that, is that I also believe that ultimately if you do devotional service, that everything is included. Like, sometimes you have to carry something, and it might be just the exercise you need, and singing also, it also involves the breath. Prabhupada used to write that if you just smell the flowers that are offered to Krishna, that all your life airs will be balanced. Just by smelling these flowers. So we shouldn't underestimate the power of devotional service. Or for instance, like this morning I missed it, but like for instance we get the flame, you know, this is also very pure thing, then we get the water. This is all very, we shouldn't underestimate these things, you know, because most of us have it every day, then become a little bit complacent. But it's very powerful actually, these things. So it is my conviction that ultimately, not only karma and jnana, which is kind of obvious, but even we usually refer to them as mystic powers, we will also obtain them. But because that is the highest, not the highest ladder, but the higher ladder, it is going to take more time. Yeah, like Prabhupada said, sit properly. So this is one thing that is part of yoga. Every yogi knows the way to meditate is to keep the spine straight, because all the nerves are there, and this is how you can become peaceful. Of course, we have our acharyas. They're not sitting very straight, but they're on the highest level. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is sitting straight. Bhaktisiddhanta Goswami Maharaj is sitting straight. Prabhupada is sitting straight. It's just two acharyas that are on, you know, they're on the highest level, that they're just not at all concerned anymore with the body. And that also we should understand, like I said, if we get older, concern for the body will become less and less, and we will need to focus more on the chanting. But besides that, I am convinced that, you know, you can get all these perfections by Bhakti Yoga. And Rasamandala was also saying this word automatically. We have to discuss that, because you cannot sit up straight automatically. Maybe sometimes that does require some exercise. But then once you get it, then, you know, you don't need... Because I also once met a yogi. He came here in the summer. And he was really sitting straight, you know, and all the devotees, you know how they are. But I was like, okay, I'm also going to sit straight. But I felt it like a sort of like a preaching. Of course, it was a little bit of an ego thing also. But it, for me, it was like a preaching. I was thinking like, I'm going to show him that we're better than him. Because I could see, he was thinking, I'm better than them, you know. And because of the mantra, we can do that. Because we can sit 1 hour, 1.5 hour straight because of this mantra. It keeps us up. And he wasn't doing it. He was just meditating like that. But after half an hour or 3/4 of an hour, he just, that was it. And then later he came to me, he said, wow, you can really meditate for a long time. Huh? And then I tried to explain to him, yes, it's because of the mantra. And it is because of the mantra. So that's my point that, you know, we used to meditate for 50 minutes. We did all these yoga exercises, and at the end we meditated. That was the most difficult, just sitting still 50 minutes. It's very difficult. But we do it for 1.5 hour, 2 hours. And there's not many yoga classes, at least in Europe, that meditate for 2 hours. And we do it every day, every day, every day. No breaks. And if we have sometimes a little break because of sickness, generally we make up for it. So who's doing that? You know, I don't think anybody. Maybe in India. Few exceptions. But even then, that's what I explained already. They cannot obtain Krishna. Maybe we should have an early breakfast? Because I can go on, because I actually prepared the other, but I think it's fine. Any other questions or comments? Yes? Yeah. Well, the general advice is that we just become attached to Krishna. So that is not bhoga. Although it is enjoyment, but it's not material enjoyment. It is prasadam. It is completely transcendental. And like I said, you know, you perform devotional service, and automatically it will be easy for you to. You won't even be renouncing a breakfast. That is what happened with Rupa Goswami. They just forgot to eat. It was not that they weren't eating; they just forgot, and they forgot so much that other people had to tell them, "Prabhu, you have to eat something. This, we want you to stay a little longer. You know, you're almost. You know, this is not good. You know, one of our acharyas, he would eat clay." Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj would eat clay just to stop the hunger. It was just disturbing his meditation. So it shouldn't be done artificially. What should be done is just to serve Krishna. Like, you know, just yesterday I chanted 2 extra rounds because I started walking up the hill because of health. So I never chanted extra rounds because I always feel it's a waste of time. You know, I better read something, or, you know, of course, you know, many times we do also nonsense. You know, we always think, no, I'm going to do something else. I mean, really, it's good to chant some extra rounds sometimes. So, but my point is, this is 15, 16 years of chanting, and now finally I'm getting some taste to chant some extra rounds. It comes natural. And maybe in a few weeks I'd stop chanting them, but maybe I won't, maybe I will increase it. I used to chant for a few weeks or months 32 rounds. That was very powerful. I started dreaming about the Ma mantra. I was dreaming that I was chanting japa. But again, it has to become natural. Like, for instance, I really like watching movies, you know. But there's one thing that is better as far as I'm concerned, and that is coming to these classes and discussing the philosophy. It's more attractive, actually, than watching any movie, especially when it gets like something that hits you and you're like, no, it's not like that, or you totally agree with it, and then it really involves your whole mind and your whole being. And also, for instance, Bhagavad Gita class in the evening, it's very, very powerful. And this is actually how Prabhupada set up the program. You do service, you take a shower, you go to the class, and then you have some milk with Krishna book. And that is completely fulfilling. So, but, you know, because of so many, preaching engagements, sometimes we're slacking a little bit. But so that is actually my answer to your question. If you're concerned about these things, I would advise you to increase those things. And you'll get a taste for it, like Akrura was here. He said it's almost impossible to be depressed if you raise your arms and you chant Hare Krishna. Like in the morning, I have like a morning, how do you say that? Like a morning mood. I'm moody in the morning. But if you like sometimes I miss it, you see, and then I have to chant my japa and I think it's not the same. Because we're jumping up and down, we're moving forward, we're chanting, we're raising our arm. Hanumak Prasak Swami also explained when you raise your arms and you jump, then all this kind of, I don't know how he exactly explained it, but some kind of chemical thing goes up to your brains, and then somehow the whole thing closes and it can come back. So you're kind of on a natural high. So it's scientific. Again, it's part of Ashtanga Yoga. We shouldn't underestimate it. Prabhupada said it also. Our exercise is dancing in the kirtan. So, yeah, maybe we can have more ecstatic kirtans. So like that. Okay. You had any more comment? No? Your problem? Yeah. Well, I mean, in the we're reading about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and sometimes they had festivals, and devotees would eat so much, especially halva. And I haven't read it, but I heard there's one description that they were eating like buckets of halva, and it's really not possible to do that. But some devotee explained to me that they were so transcendental that some other the food never really hit their stomach. I don't know exactly how that works. But and in the beginning also, like I said, it is recommended in the beginning that you eat a lot. Like I used to smoke, and it was very difficult for me to stop smoking. I mean, it wasn't difficult because I took a lot of prasadam, but I never stopped smoking. Like all my friends used to stop smoking, and I was very proud that I never stopped. You know, because they would stop and then they start again, you see. And I knew you need something better, you can't really stop. So I would eat prasadam, and my lips burst open, and I got completely purified. That's how I experienced it, that the prasadam was actually purifying my body. But then later, when you become more advanced, later meaning in a few years, then you'll naturally start to eat less. So in the beginning, you shouldn't worry about it too much. And beginning means 5-10 years. And then after, you know, like 15 years, 20 years, then naturally you also get older, and then naturally you'll start cutting down on this. Like I'm now trying to cut down on sweets because of my health. It's not that I want to cut down sweets, but it's just because of my health is telling me you really shouldn't do it. And then it becomes actually easy to do it. So these things should come natural. Of course, eating too much sweets is not good. The idea is you have 6 days of no sweets, and then Sunday there are sweets. That's actually the idea. But I know here in this temple, because of these wonderful mango sweets, that is very difficult to do that. But at least you can skip a day sometimes. You can feel it also in your body that, oh, now I ate too much sugar, maybe today. Then you also don't want to eat sugar. You feel it naturally. But these things will come. It took me 15 years, so maybe you can be a little faster than me. Huh? Okay, so much talk about prasadam. I think we can stop now. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktivrinda ki jai.